For our scripture reading, we turn to John 3, verses 16 to 21. The first verse in this reading is generally considered the most popular verse in all the Bible. The top three Bible verses, according to Bible Gateway, are John 3:16, which I'll be reading, followed by Jeremiah 29:11, which reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Followed by Philippians 4:13, which reads, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So I read from John 3, verses 16 to 21. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." This is God's inspired word, illuminating the very character of God through love and light, and offering by grace eternal life. Our message this morning that Pastor Raymond will deliver is titled, God's Extreme Love.
John 3:16, you see it on all the goalposts or the ball games, along in the stands of the people holding up John 3:16, Tim Tebow has it on his under his eyes there. You know, some of those sports fans are pretty courageous. Most of the people, and actually the agencies, don't like that. Have you ever thought about that? What is there? Is it guts by those people who take John 3:16 and put big posters up and everybody around them is, you know, like, here we go again? And yet it is the most popular verse. Why is that? You notice all three of the ones that Gary mentioned are all very positive verses. The one we're going to talk about today is the most positive verse, the most important verse, well, to mankind it seems, and it is in a way. And yet we have to take it within the context of when and what it was, what was written beyond it. I want to show a couple verses in Romans chapter 1 first. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." In other words, they're purposely pushing back against God and his truth. "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." God's love is plain to them. Heavens declare. We're going to do a different kind of an illustration this morning. We're going to use some heavenly bodies to help us understand mankind in the world, and why they suppress and how they suppress the truth. You have to remember that God so loved the world that he sent his son. He sent his son because there's a problem. There's a worldwide, universal problem. And most men and women deny it and even don't like it. Some folks on Sunday nights will recall we talked through the book of Obadiah. And one of the lessons there was the eternal hatred of Edom against Judah. For whatever reason, these cousins of Israel hated them. Time after time, there was really never a time where they didn't hate them. You got to say it's a spiritual thing, but it physically happened, historically happened, time and time again. And in Ezekiel 35:5, it says, "You to Edom, God is saying, you harbored an ancient hatred and delivered the Israelites over to the sword in the time of their disaster." And then in 2 Chronicles 28, the Edomites had again, there's this history of them, again, they come and attack Judah and they carried away captives. And so their demise, or the end of Edom and the Edomites, and Obadiah, actually the book of Obadiah, read the end of it, it's talking about the world and this, that spirit of Edom and the descendants of Edom who are still on the earth. Here's their demise. Here's the end. "Because of the violence, you shall be cut off forever." Now, this is a tragic thing to preach from the you know, centered around God so loved the world. But that verse would not be given to us if there wasn't a problem. And an eternal problem, and one that is bigger than you and I to tackle on ourselves, by ourselves. We can't overcome this problem. If God was a deist God and he stood back and said, "Have at it," we know. The Bible says that if it were not for Jesus Christ's second coming, we would destroy ourselves. Because everything is headed that direction. I want to just use an illustration here. Here's the size generally of some suns. You see the red dwarf there on the left. It's a tiny little mass, a sun. And then our sun is what they call one solar mass. And then the red giant below is five. So it's five of our suns. It's five solar masses. And then that big blue white thing up there, that's 150 times our sun. Now, these suns blow out. They come to the end of their energy, and they blow out. I want to go through this life a little bit. Just look at it a little bit. It's very interesting. You've got this sun. Let's say it's like ours, but it would be bigger. And the energy, just it's been going for so long that it's going to blow out. The energy is giving out. And when it does, the gravity of the core increases. And it becomes heavier and denser. You got this fluid, and it just kind of, the sun is just fluid and vibrant and bright and bouncy. And now it's going out, and it's kind of just becoming heavy and dense and weighty. And the gravity begins to overcome the things around it and starts sucking things in to its core. Suns already do, but even in a greater way. And when it begins to die, the gravity gets greater. Then you got what's called a supernova, where the core explodes. You have the outer parts of this star blow outward in a great distance and a great explosion. The nuclear reaction of the sun stops, and it explodes, and it expels all those parts to outward. The core is still somewhat intact, But then you have the core collapse. And it's so heavy at that point that the inner core just collapses on itself. It becomes so dense. And it begins to swallow light. Swallows everything around it. And then, of course, you have what's called the black hole, where the sun is dead. It's black. And it's so heavy that no light can get out of it. It sucks in everything around it, and it begins to turn, and everything around it is just being sucked into it, but the black hole is as black as can be. There's light in there, but the light cannot escape the gravity. The gravity is so dense. And the only reason they know that there are black holes out there is because they see the effects of the black hole. The stars and everything circling around it and being sucked into it. And stars losing their light as they come close to it. For the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men. There's no hope. It's going toward this massive black hole. This death. I was talking to Dan this morning. It was pretty interesting. Dan was just going through a day he had, and it just seemed like it was like a month or 2 months worth of pain and agony and stuff, or more. And just so interesting enough, I had sort of the same day, not quite like what Dan had, but we have these days. And then if you think about it, we have this life where really it's headed toward the grave. Gary's going through Ecclesiastes and Solomon, because it seems like when he's writing this, that he's left so much behind, he's experienced so much, and kind of left God behind, and he sees this darkness, there's nothing valid in our life. We're headed toward the grave. The earth, the people on the planet, the universe is headed toward a black hole. So we get saved, and we take God up on his promise, and we look upon the cross, and we're saved, and then we're going through life, and we experience these days. It's like there's a black hole circling around there. Something is there, pulling us, disturbing us, disturbing our lives. Maybe we're saved and we have hope and stuff, but we could still see the effects of death and all around us, and every day it seems more and more. Did you see what's happening in Indonesia? This is ongoing with Papua New Guinea and Indonesia, and more earthquakes, and now there's several earthquakes in Israel, going on 2 weeks worth, and Hawaii, 700 homes swallowed up, and it continues, 200 to 300 quakes a day there. Not major, but the lava just keeps eating up homes. It just continues. Did you see the fires out the west? How horrible. I mean, why does this even happen? It doesn't make any kind of sense. Zero sense that babies are lost. 200 fires in the West. Louisiana this morning. Some people have no hope. And honestly, there is zero hope outside of God, because there is judgment there. It is coming, and we can see the effects of it. It's like a black hole out there, and you know it's there, and things are spinning around, and millions and billions of people, little stars just spinning around it going, well, we're going to make it someday. And so we reach back to what Nicodemus was saying, because we got to remember the context of what was written. God so loved that Nicodemus is asking these questions. Where's the hope? How can an old man or an old woman be born again? How can these good things, these wonderful things be? How can they be? That's the question that Nicodemus asked. That's the hope that he came to Jesus Christ in the nighttime to find out, okay, we're in a black hole situation here. Where's the hope? How can we be born again? And Jesus says this, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whosoever believes in him may have eternal life. Then he says, after talking about the serpent up on the cross, and the serpent being lifted up, and whoever looks up to it, Jesus has to be lifted up, and he has to die, and we have to look to him. He says, why is that happening? Why does that have to happen? Because God loved the world. Because God sees the black hole and the helplessness of everybody. And he said, I created this, and I am love. He says, I am agape. I am love, and I'm choosing to save people. So God so loved everybody. The word is everybody. Nobody is chosen to go to hell. He reaches out to everybody that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Look up and say, look up and believe. Look up and be saved. Just turn your head. You don't have to go to work and do this and all that. Just look at Jesus. Just believe. Just believe. That's what he's saying. Whosoever looks up, God gives. Now, what about hate? What about this judgment thing? What about why is there even a black hole? I mean, you know, God, listen, you know, think about this now. You see a black hole there, and you got a one big mass of black hole there, and all the stars of the galaxy, are roaming around. I mean, they're being pulled around by the gravity. They're out in a certain gravitational pull, and maybe stay in their orbit, and some are so close that they can't help it. They're going into the black hole. Well, why is there even such a thing as that? Why is there even such a thing as the death of this planet? I should say the replenishing of this planet, but it's going to be burned. And the death of people. God says we're going to go again back and use Esau, who's Edom. We're going to use him again. And we're going to go back in Malachi, and it says this, the oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi, I have loved you. I have loved, he's saying, to my son, I love you. And he's saying, to you and to his people, I love you. But then he says, but you say, how have you loved us? Is not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord? Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. I have laid waste his hill country and left his heritage to the jackals of the desert. Here's Edom again. That's the same person. Esau is Edom. If Edom says we are shattered, but we will rebuild the ruins, hey, all's not lost. We're going around this black hole, but everything's okay. The Lord of hosts says to them, they may build, but I will tear down, and they will be called the wicked country and the people with whom the Lord is angry forever. Lord, let's see, wait a minute now. Lord God, you are love. You, God, so loved the world. What's with the black hole? What is with the black hole? It's because of the eternal hatred. It's not so much of the eternal hatred from Esau toward Israel. That's just a sign of the eternal hatred of man toward God. Of men and women who don't love God. I put it that way because watch this. Matthew 6, Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Now, before we go into the hate and despise here in a second, I want you to think about this, okay? I love, it just came to mind. Who was the guy who played football and baseball? What was his name? That's him. I almost said Jackson, but I couldn't get it right. Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson. Was he any good at either one of them? Yeah, he's okay. I just think about, was he devoted to one and hated the other? Well, he did both. No, wait a minute. I love this, but I love this as well. I want to do this, and I want to do this as well. Well, if you do two things, you can't do one well in general. When it comes to God, you can't love him and love the world well. Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for them. And yet he says, don't be friends of the world. What is this? What's going on with this double? What's going on? What is hate? Hate is in a relative sense, is comparison to love, a lesser love, or the absence of love. There's a spectrum there. So when he says, you cannot come to me unless you hate your mom and dad. It says that in Luke 14. Why would Jesus say, you want me to hate my mom and dad? What is he saying? There's a spectrum of this. And so how can God hate Edom when he is love? When God so loved the world, how can he hate those millions of stars being sucked into the black hole? I'm talking about the people being sucked into. How can he do that? Because he's mad. Because he's angry. And the rain still shines on him. Pours on him. And the sun still shines. And the trees and everything still grows. And the earth is filled with his goodness. And they still kill and eat and go to work and get money. And so God's grace says, I love the world. I love the world. Here's my grace. But I'm mad at you. I'm mad. Despise is kind of the same thing. The word there, it means to think against somebody. God doesn't despise anybody, but he says to Esau, he said, I hate you because, and let me show you, you're going to your punishment. Now, wait a minute, Esau. Wait a minute, the world. Look up and be saved. Look up and be saved. Verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him, whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. They're going about their merry way and they're not even considering Jesus Christ. Now you have those people out in the audiences and the congregations I'm talking about the Colosseums. You've got these big signs, John 3:16, look up. What gives them the courage to even do that kind of stuff? Because they know the one thing that's going on in the universe is God's love. The one thing that's going on in the universe is God is declaring. And they say, oh, I see. I've looked up and seen Jesus Christ on the cross, and I believe. And I don't, Lord, this may be selfish. I'm sorry. In fact, I'm telling you here right now, this is how I first got saved. I was scared to death. I told you, I watched Hal Lindsey's movie. And there's a nuclear bomb going off. And I go, Lord, something's coming. And I sensed it around me before, but now I know what it is. There's a black hole out there, and it's sucking everybody into it. And he said, look up and believe. Just look up. And so he sends his son into the world. It's interesting that he's saying this in John, but in Matthew, it's almost like Jesus is setting the Jews up. He's saying at every point the Jews think you're religious and you think you're all that. And let me tell you, you haven't even started to hit the mark that I'm looking for. You guys are way off base. But he's saying in that, I'm not coming. He's saying, I'm the bread of life. Look unto me, the Messiah. You need help. And they said, kill him. Kill him, the only one of life, the only source of life. Kill the brightest star in the universe. But in order that the world might be saved through him and whoever believes in him. Now here, I won't mention her name, but it's the second time that she's brought this subject up, and I can't thank her enough for it. But Bob preached last week, so the week before that I was in earlier part of John chapter 3, and afterwards this dear lovely lady came up and said, because, you know, remember the first part of John chapter 3 is you don't do anything. God does it all. God does everything. He saves you. And she comes up and she goes, well, where does repentance come in? And I love that question. I love that question like we had on Tuesday where predestination and all those things that we honestly really can't get, we can't fully understand, but they're biblical and they bring us tension. And so where, if you're doing everything and there's a black hole and I'm going toward it, don't I have to like swim harder? Don't I have to get a booster rocket and shoot myself out of this galaxy because I'm being pulled into a black hole? What do I have to do, work? What do I have to do to get out of this predicament? You have to repent. Now, some dear lovely people lately are saying, well, okay, well, I need to get to work then. Or others are saying, well, that's a work, so we don't have to repent. That's not even biblical. The Bible says to repent. Now, here's some very interesting things, okay? The word is metanoia. It means to change one's way of life. Listen, as the result of a complete change of thought and attitude with regard to sin and righteousness. And I would say, with regards to Jesus Christ. I mean, to me, you have to get to Jesus Christ before you get to sin and righteousness. I mean, you can understand you're a sinner and you're not right and those kind of things in a way. But the one thing to be saved is to turn your thoughts differently about Jesus Christ. That's the beginning point. What God is trying to do is to get us to understand that there's a black hole and everybody's headed toward it and the universe is headed toward it. And so there's sin and judgment and an end. And then God said, I'm the way out. And the way I'm the way out is my son. I'm sending him to you. Now, before we even hear his name, we have no clue how to be saved. We have no hope. We know there's a black hole in judgment, and we know that something's going on in the universe. Maybe there's a God, but we have no idea what's going on. But then what happens is God pursues you. And the first, your first hearing of the gospel is his pursuit, his call to you. It's his call out to you. God's kindness leads you to repentance. And the key is God gave his son. Do you realize that when, let's just go back to Abraham real quick. God said, Abraham, I've got a place for you, and all you got to do is follow me. You don't know what it's about or nothing, but just follow me. And Abraham what? He believed. Now, he didn't in himself say, I know there's another place out there, and I'm going to go find it. I'm going to make my way around the Middle East and try to find what's going on or just, you know. He heard God talk to him, and he believed. Now, he didn't know all of it, but he believed. Because God said, and he turned his eyes to God and believed. And that's the same way it is when you look up to the cross, when you look up to the serpent that was raised in the wilderness. All he said was, turn your head and look. And then what happens afterwards is the actions, because the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and you're converted and you're changed. But he first calls through his living word. It's interesting, the word repent is mentioned 5 times in Matthew, 2 in Mark, 6 times in Luke, 5 times in Acts, and never once in John. Not once. Why? Because remember, John, the book of John, is all about God and Jesus and their work on your behalf. It's about him being deity and nothing to do with you. There is no focus on you doing anything. And yet, watch this, believe. Matthew uses it 9 times, Mark 15, Luke 10, John 100 times. I've mentioned this before. John 100 times. Why? Because that is repentance. When we hear Christ's name and what he's done for us, we turn our eyes to him, and that's repentance. And we go from there, and there will be fruit. There will be fruit in one way, shape, or form. That is repentance. And verse 19 through 21, and this is the judgment. Again, back to judgment. The light has come into the world, and people beloved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So it's back to Romans 1. And it's John agreeing with Paul. Actually, it's the Holy Spirit agreeing in both ways, in both places, that there's a judgment coming because the world and mankind has suppressed the truth, and they've done so because they like what they're doing. Now, we can blame that black hole, can't we? You know, it's been said before here even that let's say the black hole was the devil and he's calling you in there. Well, if there wasn't the devil, there'd be the world calling you. If there wasn't the world, the flesh should be calling us in there. Because they're all fallen, and they all don't want to be alone. And they're all calling us in there. So the power is a fleshly lie that there's no hope. And they don't want to be alone. I want to show you something that's very interesting. Very interesting. This just came out in the news this last week. I don't want to explain it a lot because I don't know a lot about it. But this is one of the largest black holes in the universe. I think it's called Arcturus or Arcturus S or something like that. It's one of the biggest black holes in the universe, and they've got their telescopes on it, and they're watching stuff, and hopefully it'll help us understand something. And sure enough, there's this little star below there, you see. And this little star, it's like the big one, but it's just not as big. It's a little star. And it's on a trajectory. It's moving really fast. It's interesting. We talked about this on Tuesday's study a couple weeks ago, that some of these stars are going millions of miles a second, and other ones are going, you know, just not even a tenth of that speed. So they're going different speeds. Well, this little star is going so fast that it's not being pulled into the black star, but it's being affected by it. And what they found out was, just like I guess they said Einstein figured out, that when the star is bright white out there and it comes in close to the gravity field of the black hole, it changes color because of the gravity. The gravity of the black hole is pulling its light away from the star. And it changes it from white to orange. And sometimes that's the effect that we get in the world. That's the effect that it has on us. When I see these pictures and other things happening, that's the effect. That's what's going on. That this massive judgment, let's just call it what it is, this judgment is sitting out there for mankind. And everything is headed toward it, except for that little star. You know what that little star's got going for it? Power. That little star is going so fast that while it may be affected by the gravity, it is not being pulled. The core star itself is not being pulled. It's not being pulled. It's being pulled by somebody else or something else. It just happened, just so happened this morning that Gary in his class mentioned 1 Corinthians 1 as the cross being the power of God. It just so happens that in Romans chapter 1, we just went through part of it, that the gospel is the power of God. This black hole doesn't affect you. What is happening out here will affect you emotionally and your sensories and sometimes even your life and temptations and even mistakes. But you are on a trajectory. It's the power of God. You see, think about this as well. Love attracts. So when people are sitting in the Colosseum with John 3:16, that's why it's the most powerful verse in the universe. God loves. And actually, the effects of the black star and the effects of Satan on people's lives will actually cause people to turn to the Lord because they're afraid or because they don't like their sin. Once God says, I sent my son. Listen, folks, we still have a message. We still have a message to people. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes and turns their eyes to Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We worship you, Lord God. We worship you, Jesus. I could probably say with a surety that every single one of us has gone through this week with the world's effects on us, the black hole's effects, the effects of death, the effects of Satan's reign as the prince of the power of the air, this air, the effects of the gravity of sin that's pulling us. We've been affected this week and will be affected the next week. But we thank you so much for the power that you sent your son and that we have believed and we look to him and that we're on a trajectory to heaven. And may our bodies go to the grave so that we could be resurrected. We look forward to seeing your face. Death is still a curse, but the resurrection is afterwards, and we look forward to seeing your face someday. I pray for hope in every heart here as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen.